Well, as a Christian, it's time, this lesson is time to refuel. Talked about refreshing. Now we need a time to refuel. And our keynote scripture for this particular message is going to be found in the book of Matthew, Matthew 4 and 4. Read this with me. Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Man shall not live by bread alone. This is the temptation that faced Jesus in the wilderness from the devil. That definition of refuel, and there's not many ways you can go on this, is just to supply again with fuel. To refuel. Your automobile, your airplanes, everything that's running has to have some type of fuel. Even us. Amen. Ruthie was doing a lot of running yesterday, getting ready for softball. They've had their time off, so now training is back around. So, you know, she put a lot of fuel in during the holidays, and she's been running it off. So she had a couple times of refueling yesterday when she got home. But that definition, it just means to supply again with fuel. And just as our body, as this human body, needs food and water to live and to grow and to prosper, our spirit man, he needs something. He needs the Word of God. I need this Word so I can grow and be strong, not just grow, but be strong in the things of God. You know, there's strong Christians and then there's weak Christians. Well, the weakly Christians are those that come just on Sunday, or weakly Christians. See, once we leave here, we got to be strong Christians. We got to grow in this grace. Jesus didn't just go to the synagogue and then go home and just forget about God and go back to the synagogue on Sunday. He went home and he meditated and he thought about God and he thought about what the rabbi taught that day. And he built a relationship with somebody he couldn't see, but somebody he knew was there. And that's how God is a spirit. And we worship him. We got to worship him in the Word and in the Spirit of God. In the Spirit. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that word that's spoken here in the Greek is the word rhema. Every word, man shall not live by bread alone. This body can't just live by bread alone. It can live, but it won't thrive. And God wants us to thrive this year. He wants us to thrive every day. That we're alive, He wants us to thrive here on this earth. Be going somewhere with a person of purpose. And help somebody else along the line. Amen. But that word there is rhema. In Strong's Concordance 4487, that which is said or spoken. Go right back to the beginning. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." Rhema. He spoke something. He uttered something. The logos is the written word. This word is logos. From the beginning to the end, there's a lot of logos in here, written word. But rhema is when I read right here, Jesus said to him, in other words, "Jesus, I know you're hungry. Take and turn this stone into a Bojangles biscuits covered with butter. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." That's rhema. Jesus released rhema. See, the devil was releasing death. Jesus was releasing life. Because he spoke the words of God. See, his body needed food. But he didn't need it from the devil. He wasn't going to take it and pervert it. Because anything the devil has to offer, we don't want. It's moldy. It's decaying. It's souring. If you're thinking about milk, you want a good old bowl of milk and you pour it in there and it's lumpy. That's what the devil has to offer. We don't want that. We want the milk, sincere milk of this word that never sours. Amen. When it goes down your belly, it's like, I'm thinking something real good. Chocolate milk. Y'all know I like chocolate milk. It ain't sour milk. It's like chocolate milk. That's the Word of God. The Rhema. Jesus released that Rhema Word of God to the devil. And that was just one of the temptations he faced. Every time the devil came and tempted Jesus, the Holy Spirit would minister a Rhema word to the Lord, and it would be the word in due season that was needed to defeat the enemy. See, that's what Lisa was sharing, opened up this morning, about how that God wants us to hear through the Holy Spirit. Jesus needs us to hear through the Holy Spirit and be ready and be prepared to speak what He needs us to speak in due season. Not, you know, it's good to study the Word. We've got to study this Word, but then we've got to spend some time in His presence. We're refueling, and then we're hearing His Word. We're hearing those Rhema words that change things. The devil knows the Word. He can give you the Word, but I've already said there's no truth in Him. It's not in Him. He knows it, but it's not in Him. It's not a part of Him. You can say He's real religious. The devil is real religious. Amen. An example about a word in due season. Our food pantry at home, everybody's got a food pantry. If not, we're going to get you some food. We need to get you some. But I got a food pantry that might be small, medium, large, depends on the size of your family. Mine is filled with all kind of different groceries. You're seeing your food pantry right now. Probably some things you're missing right now. Probably some things in your refrigerator. You haven't been in the pantry because you've had so much stuff to eat lately. You've got so much stuff in the refrigerator, you can't make it to the pantry. But there's all kind of groceries. But when I want to fix some brownies, I go and get what I need to get the job done. Box of brownies, eggs, milk. That's about it for brownies. You don't need a whole lot. Mix it up, throw it in the oven. You got what you need. Likewise, for us to be successful this year and in the years to come, we must keep our pantry, our heart, full of the Word of God. If our word level is low, it's time to what? Refuel. If you don't have the ingredients to make those brownies, guess what? It's time to go to the food line and get you some. Or wherever you get the best deal. That's your refuel center. Well, this is our refuel center right here, the Word of God. What do you need for breakfast? What do you need for lunch? What are you thinking about supper? What do you need that particular day? Are your sinuses bothering you today? Is your body kind of weak, not feeling too strong today? Well, you need to get into the promises of God. Let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. Get your ingredients out. The Bible says I shouldn't have allergies. God didn't say nothing about allergies. He said everything that He created on the earth, all the plants, the trees, the flowers, they were good. Yes. They were good. So, Father, I thank You right now. I don't receive allergies. See, you're getting your ingredients for healing now. Because the Word of God says everything You created was good. Amen. Now the curse came in. Lord, I know this curse came in. Adam and Eve, they transgressed. There came the curse, Lord. I know that. But Jesus, You said, the Bible says, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. That all the blessings of Abraham will come upon me. So Father, I thank You right now. According to Deuteronomy 28, I'm mixing that up with Jesus. He became a curse for me. These curses, they can't come to me. So you're getting your ingredients together. You're getting your recipe together. What do you need? What do you need? Go to your pantry. We got to put. But the main thing is sometimes we don't have the Word. We don't have the Bible. We don't have the Logos right in front of us. So that's where it's so important to put it in our hearts. See, that's our pantry. It's putting it in our hearts. Store the Word up in our heart so whenever we need it or somebody else needs it, we can give them some of our supply. Amen. So then when the old devil, in other words, we get in our pantry, putting this word, getting in our heart, when the old devil with his temptation comes, the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, He's also called our helper, our counselor. You could about call Him your chef. He's right there in the kitchen to help you get this thing going, whatever you need to make, right? He says, lean on Me. I'm here to help you. Well, I've got the eggs and I got the milk, and I got the brownie mix, but I need somebody to stir it for me while I'm firing up the oven. Well, he's right there with you. Amen? So whatever you're battling, whatever you're fighting, whatever you need, he's there to give you that utterance when you need it, to give you that rhema word that God's going to give you in due season. So when the devil comes with his temptation, the Holy Spirit, he will pick out the right weapon. Now that's key right there. The right weapon that we need to defeat him with. And that weapon is the rhema word of God. I can remember first coming to the Lord, and as I was in the maintenance field, and it was lawn season. Trim the sidewalks, edge the sidewalks, mow. You just get into a routine. You weed eat, you mow about an hour and a half, and then you get, while the other guys are mowing, you're getting the blowers out and you're blowing off the sidewalks. And it was that time of season when the seeds were all falling to the ground. And I'm not sure which tree, but there's these, I call them the old helicopter seeds. They just come down like helicopters, and they're everywhere when that season hits. And I can remember today, you know, we switch jobs. One week you mow, the next week you blow, next week you weed. You can just switch around. Don't do the same old thing. Well, this time I was blowing, about finishing up, and just coming down through. And all those seeds, I'm sitting there seeing these seeds, and they're on the sidewalks. And I get a revelation. It's a rhema word from God. Now, I've heard the scripture, knew that Jesus lived and died, and on the third day rose from the ground. But there was something about that day when I saw that seed sitting on the sidewalk. It was not fulfilling its purpose. The Holy Spirit spoke to me a rhema word and showed me that seed left on that sidewalk could not fulfill its purpose. So that day the Holy Spirit showed me, if you get that seed, once it gets into the ground, it can start growing and become a great tree. And that's what, and he showed me just a quick picture of Jesus, that he was the seed of God, the seed of Abraham. He was the seed that would bruise the serpent, that would redeem mankind. And a whole, just in 5 minutes, the Holy Spirit took me and said, showed me that Jesus had to go into the center of the earth so that we could come out and be his branches and be his fruit. He's the first fruit of many brethren. And see, that was a rhema word. That's how when you're, but I didn't get that because I was thinking about what I did the day before, or I was thinking about my job. I was meditating upon him. As I was blowing, I was meditating upon the scripture. I was just communion with the Lord, just fellowshipping with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit revealed something to me. And that's the way he speaks. And we've all heard him. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes I'm not, how do I hear from God? How do I hear God's voice? It's those little things like that. That's God speaking to you. He might use a seed, might use a tree, a car, an animal. He might even speak through an animal if he needs to. Amen. He's done that before. But he doesn't want to use that anymore. He wants you to listen to the Holy Spirit. And as we refuel in the Word of God and meditate upon his Word, expect those rhema. And when you hear that rhema, either it's time to speak it or it's time to act upon it. See, Jesus spoke it, and then he acted like he believed what he spoke. Amen? Because he didn't do what the devil said to do. So that rhema word, that's the weapon that we need in that particular season or area of our life. It might be, love thine enemies as somebody's cursing you. It might be, give a cup of water to your enemies. It might be whoever's in prison, go visit them. You know, you might know somebody in your family just got locked up. Holy Spirit might say, pray for him or go visit him. Because see, Jesus said, I was in prison. Did you come? Did you visit me? See, there's so many logos, the written word in here. But what is that rhema word is what is spoken that you need to do immediately. And it could be a dream or a vision at night. You're awakened. And Terry said he had a vision. Then it's time to act on that vision. Act on that word. Release your faith with the Holy Spirit. And then the power is released. And then that word is brought into the earth. Manifested into the earth. Let's go finish the story of the Samaritan woman in John 4. I'm not going to keep you too long today, but I want to finish this. Jesus was about finishing things, right? He said, "It is finished." The last thing he did on the earth. But that wasn't the end. That was just, he finished the work down here. In John 4. And that's sometimes, even like, you know, we think about we just come out of the Christmas season, the familiar scriptures we kind of hear, don't let your mind or the devil steal the word from you. Even though every year you're hearing these same scriptures, maybe plays are done, but don't let that discourage you from the Holy Spirit. God's word is alive. And whether we use the same scriptures every year that season, God can speak something different to 10, 100 different individuals in that service that night. Because his word is alive. It's never moldy. It's never crusty. It's never souring. It's alive. And John knew that. John 4, verses 19. I better get there. Okay. The woman said to him, and this is after Jesus had spoken a word of knowledge to her. He talked about her husband. He said, "Go call your husband." She said, "I don't have a husband." He said, "You rightly said." He didn't condemn her, but he said, you've had many husbands, and the one you're now with is not your husband. She's like, he might be a prophet. She said that to herself. He knows some stuff here. But see, God doesn't condemn. He never points the finger. He'll point the way out. He doesn't point the finger. He points the way. Jesus is the way out. The woman said to him, "Sir," verse 19, "I perceive that you are a prophet." She's trying to change the subject here. Now look here. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, might as well say, "I am the Messiah." He said, "I who speak to you am he." And at this point, just right there at the end, man, she's excited. The disciples come. How many times have you been in a conversation, you're like at the climax of that conversation, God's really giving you something, and somebody shows up and the whole thing is kind of like, oh man, somebody just showed up and I lost it. Just at this point, his disciples show up. The woman said to him, and verse 27, at this point his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with the woman. See, they're not in the spirit here. They're in the flesh. Jesus is in the spirit. He's ready to, who knows what else he's going to release to this woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water pot. Here's all these other Jews coming, and she knows she's been around, grown up. This ain't the place to be. She left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man." That'd be a good title for a movie. Talking about, come see a man. Don't tell them who it is. Just come see a man. You know, throw some excitement out there. "Who told me all things I ever did know. Could this be the Christ?" And they went out of the city and they came to him. And in the meantime, all this is happening over here in stage B. Back in stage A, after the disciples came back here with Jesus. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Jesus, teacher, eat. We know you're hungry." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." Jesus is always about doing things together. Not about just, it's just me and the Father and the Holy Ghost. No, he was always about involving his disciples, teaching them. That's a good teacher. So he involves people. Amen. You just can't do it all. It ain't a one-man show here. For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. In verse 42. And they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now let's look back at verse 28. In other words, Jesus, they were at a climax here in this conversation, and all of a sudden, here the disciples show up. Just ruined everything. And you see, she was so excited. What did she leave? What did she come there for? She came there to get water. But she left without a water pot. She was so excited that she forgot the water and ran and told everyone she knew about this man Jesus. I believe a little bit of that living water got on her. God, it just didn't get on her, it got in her. Yeah, yeah. And when something good gets in you, it's going to come out of you. Amen? And there's been many times, you know, we get excited about something. That's the time. There was that rhema word that God had given her, this living water. He gave her the words of life that day. He showed her that he loved her. He didn't ridicule her like she was thinking this Jew was going to do because she was a Samaritan. No, Jesus embraced her that day at the well and gave her words of living water. And she got a hold of it. She got excited about it. We get refueled in this Word of God, it'll stir up some excitement on the inside of you. And what's the next thing she did? She ran and told of somebody she met. See, the Word of God, we've been filled with the Spirit of God in Acts to be a testimony. That power will come on you to be a testimony. It's just not there just to say, I got the power. Right? That's not what it's about. It's about being a testimony about the Messiah, about the Savior of the world, and what Jesus has done for me. But you need that power. You need His power to be a testimony. You can be a testimony or you can be a weak testimony. You know, a testimony ain't about how poor I am or how sick I am and I'm doing all this for the Lord because I'm humble. No, that's a bad testimony. Jesus, it brings life. He brings life. Jesus is always there to bring you out of something, not keep you in something. In verse 31 and 32, it says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know. Jesus was full of the Word of God. He'd been meditating upon that word. As he was sitting there waiting, he was hungry, but guess what he was thinking? I'm just going to say I have the mind of the Lord here, but I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I think it'll just fit right in here. A lot of times when you're dealing with something, a lot of times if I haven't been in the military, but if you've raged a warfare and you've won a battle, but there's a greater battle raging down the next hill, a lot of times we need to look back to how we won that battle, that victory, and it'll carry you through the next battle. Well, Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness when he was hungry. But he decided, he got a rhema word from the Holy Spirit. I don't live by bread alone, devil, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Well, here's the same situation. He's ministering to this Samaritan woman. His disciples showed up. But see, I have food. See, he's thinking back to that temptation. The Word of God's more important right now, boys. I'm spending time right here. I'm meditating with the Father. I ain't worried about this food right now. They're coming back. Might be back here shortly. I need to meditate upon this word. They're coming back to get something, and I need to make sure I got something to give them. So it's not by... He was living by the word of God. And that was going to give them... give him what he needed to share with this people that for many times had a bad taste in their mouth of these Jews. Well, Jesus was not just a Jew. He was the Son of God. Amen. Which would be their Savior. For this purpose, he was sent. Jesus didn't need to feed his flesh right now. He needed to be strong in the spirit of his Father so he could minister to the needs of the people. And as just Christians, pastors, it's just not for the pastors up here that we have to stay in the Word, study the Word, meditate upon the Word. It's to be an effective Christian here on this world. It's what we need to do. It's to refuel in this Word of God. Hear the Holy Spirit, that Rhema Word, and then act upon it. That's where our strength is going to come from. Because there's others that are waiting to hear this testimony. I want to remind you in Proverbs 23:7 shows us that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So shall we be. This year we need to spend quality time meditating upon the Word of God. That's our time to refuel. Fill it up. Fill up your tank. It won't cost you anything. Dallas knows this gas is getting nice, $2.15 a gallon. It's coming down. Time to refuel. Amen. Refuel while it's cheap. Yeah. Hallelujah. Fill up all four cars. Well, guess what? We can go. Jesus said, I'll give you that living water. It'll be a spring of water on the inside of you. Anytime we can go to the Master through the power of the Holy Spirit and be filled. When it says to be filled with the Spirit, it's just not one time. It's be being filled, as we were singing this morning. Be filled with His power and His presence. Meditate upon His Word. That's how we become filled. Praying, I'm still getting ahead of myself, but praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues, that's another way that we stay filled. But refueling in this Word and the promises of God. And you know, I haven't been in the Old Testament a lot. I'm still teaching on Tuesday nights at school. But still, I need to... got to have that quality time where it's just not what I'm teaching on Tuesday, but where's the Holy Spirit leading me right now? Personally, I need to go. There's all kind of areas there. But you also, you receive, when you teach and minister the Word, you receive Rhema then. Personally, too. I'm receiving things. I mean, as Terry, as they were singing this morning, just Father. That word Father, I was just in the presence of the Father. He inhabits the praises of His people. Now, if you stay in the flesh, you're not gonna maybe notice that or embrace that. You can feel. You can. Jesus was touched with the infirmities of us. You can feel and touch the presence of God, not with your flesh, but by faith. You can experience and touch the anointing and feel it, and it's a power. It's God's presence in this earth and in this earthen vessel, and it's okay to have those special times. Amen. It's kind of like a child. A child yearns to be touched by his, you know, to be embraced. As they get a little bit older, they want to do this. But it's that certain age that a child has to have that assurance that I'm loved. Well, God is the same way. He wants our love and our adoration. All we got to do is reach out and receive it. Amen. So, Psalms 23 is telling us that this year we need to spend more quality time meditating on the Word of God, putting that in our hearts, in our pantry. That's a time to refuel, to rethink, refuel, rethink, meditate. I was thinking about rethinking or meditating upon the Word. What He's wanting to reveal to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus is speaking, but He's not speaking from earth. He's speaking from heaven to the Holy Spirit. His Word is just alive in heaven as it is here on the earth. Amen? His words never fall to the ground unnoticed. And the next key here, and I've already mentioned it, don't forget your past victories. Areas in your life that God has given you the victory in. I remember when just dealing with headaches, and when I first got born again, just apply the word. Just rebuke that headache in the name of Jesus. Pain, wherever you're originating from, Jesus is my healer. I just had a toothache yesterday. I'm still probably going to get it checked out, but I have no pain today. And it aggravated me all day yesterday. And I said, pain, wherever you're originating from, Jesus is my healer. I release my faith in that. I command you to leave. There's no pain today. And I thank God for it, but that doesn't mean I still might get, you know, I've got dental insurance. I'll go get it checked out. But I checked out the master first. Master plan says I'm healed. Small things, believing for small things. There's bigger things that people need deliverance from. I need to, if I got my faith built in small things, I'm growing in faith. And then I can be there to have that rhema word, that promise that they need. God, if God can handle a toothache, He can handle a tumor. No problem for Him. He's God. Amen. So don't forget your past victories. And don't think that you ain't going to have no battles. Amen. You can get off of the ditch here. I remember coming up through the Word of Faith, and sometimes you'd hear some teachings out there that, you know, if you're a Christian, you can do all things. You just sit back. You got it made, brother. You're a conqueror. You're a king. No, in myself, I can't do nothing. But don't think just because you got Jesus and the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongues that the devil ain't going to come and tempt you. You're going down a slippery road. You're going to get wet. But know that Christ has overcame. You're an overcomer in Him. Not in myself, not in what I think I can do, but what I know what He has done. And see, that's where your victory is from. It's not in myself, it's in Christ. Amen. But we are going to face temptation, tests, and trials. The book of James tells us that. But knowing this, rejoice, Paul said. And again, I say rejoice when they come. Because when they come, you're going to have a testimony. Because the Holy Spirit's going to give you a rhema word that you're going to escape out of this. And then you're going to have a testimony of, look what the Lord has done. Yeah. Look what the Lord... Amen. Hallelujah. And He ain't done yet. Amen. He still got supper cooking in the oven. There's biscuits still cooking because He ain't done. Amen. There's still food in the pantry because He ain't done. And as long as there's Christians or people here on this earth, the devil's going to be working. But God's already got the plan worked out. Jesus already came and put Him underneath His feet. Underneath our feet. So this year we need to spend quality time meditating, rethinking on the Word, what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal. Don't forget your past victories. Another area this year the Lord wants us to focus on is to remember those past victories. Don't revel in them, but remember them. You know, the children of Israel, every time they would defeat or tear down an altar that they were worshiping Baal with, they would build their altar to God. They would rebuild the altar of God. This is the church. This is our temple. This is where we come to worship. But this is not the church. Amen. We are the church. You are the church. So that means wherever we go, we can tear down the altars of Baal. With what? With our words. With words. Words of life. That's how we tear down His kingdom. One soul, one word at a time, spoken by God. In love. Amen. And that's the key. That's a key ingredient we can never leave out is love. Because without love, you don't have no brownies. Amen. Without love, you don't have God. It means you're not operating and working by God. So remember those past victories. He helped you attain. And remember the great things He did for you back then. And guess what? Expect greater things in 2015. I got another one starting college. Oh, praise God. Another victory. Another battle to fight. And all I got to do is believe, trust God, go work, go do what God's called me to do, and be expecting His blessing and His favor and all the other things that I can't see. Amen. So I can't see it all, but God knows it all. But be expecting those rhema words and speak those rhema words out, because that's how God gets His power here on the earth operating, is through our words. 2015, We got one more message to go on this. But refresh, spend time in His presence. And this is a continual lifetime experience. Spending time in His presence. Pray more in the Holy Ghost, in tongues and other tongues. It doesn't take a lot of sweat, equity, effort, but it does take faith. And you do got to speak. They spoke in other tongues. You got to say something. You got to release God's power here on earth by saying something. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. That's what you do. That's what it's doing. I'm building myself up. Somebody's trying to knock me down. Why would the Word build you up if you're not somebody not going to come try to knock you down? I shall not be defeated. Amen. Lift up your gates. The King of Glory is coming. He's came. Amen. He's given us the victory. Refuel. This message is more about studying His Word, spending time in His Word, meditating upon the Scriptures throughout the day, night. That covers it both, night and day. That's 24/7. That doesn't mean you can't think about your kid, you can't think about your job. It just means keep God right in the mix of all that stuff. Because He's good at helping you on your job. And He's good at helping you know how to... You forgot to set the timer on the oven. You need to go check your brownies because they're getting ready to burn. The Holy Spirit's good at that. All of these little things. He's good at all things. There's nothing He can't help you do. Fix anything, know anything, do anything. But when it comes to the Word, it's got to be on the inside of you. He ain't going to just tell you the Word. He's going to remind you of the Word. So we got a part to play, and that's to study the Word. He's not going to study it for us. The Bible tells us, study to show yourself approved. Amen. Paul told Timothy, a workman that needed not be ashamed. Amen? Amen. Amen. Keep His Word. Keep God's Word in the midst of your heart. Refresh and refuel. And come back next week for refire. Amen. I believe there's some firing going on right now. But there's some more that needs to happen. Every day, we have an opportunity to reach out and share this gospel to the world. Amen. Refuel.